VolitionRx, a multinational epigenetics company revolutionizing cancer diagnosis with the development of simple, easy-to-use, cost-effective blood tests involving a range of cancers and other diseases. Volition's clinical trials in human health have shown promising results in detecting several cancer types, including colorectal, lung, and a variety of bloodborne cancers. VolitionRx. Web address, volition.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College, Latin American Research Professor, Strategic Studies Institute. Discussing Che Guevara, who died October 9, 1967, but legends live on. And the legend of Che Guevara is an icon. It's a T-shirt, it's murals in Havana, one on the side of a building I've seen. However, is it also in the philosophy, in the presentation, in the romance of Che Guevara, revolutionary leader who died ignominiously, executed by the Bolivian, by order of the Bolivian president, because he feared Che on trial? Here, many decades later, Professor, the young president in Bolivia, in Chile, Gabriel Boric, he's in his 30s, younger than anybody can imagine. This is a millennial president. And he was presented to us as a man who reads classical Marxism from Europe, from the 20th and 19th century. Now he's instituting what is generally understood of left-of-center populism. Does Che Guevara pertain in any fashion in Chile, to your understanding? Does Gabriel Boric represent a continuation of that legacy of rising up in favor of the people against the padrón?
I frankly see Gabriel Boric as a self-styled intellectual, somebody with probably sincere democratic leanings. He's been critical of Maduro in Venezuela. He's been critical of the Ortegas in Nicaragua. I don't see him with those type of kind of self-serving authoritarian tendencies, at least in what he's trying to do. But clearly, the group that he comes from is the group that in his youth would have romanced Che and the idea of social transformation and the idea of the business class and the capitalists as part of the problem and the state part of the repressive mechanism that which needed to be changed. So clearly, when Boric talks about transforming the Chilean state, although I believe that he hopes to do it through democratic processes in this new constitution, etc. Certainly that is informed by not only the romance, the Che as the armed movement. This was the part of the revolutionary spirit in Latin America. You were into Che if you wanted to get the girl, so to speak. But I think Boric also is part of that movement that read a little bit more the actual serious thinkers, Marx, Engels, Hegel, various others, others only quasi associated with Marxism, Kierkegaard, et cetera, so he's part of that current. But what we're already seeing is that the group of people that he's brought in, his affiliation with the Chilean Communist Party, creates certain challenges, especially if things go in difficult ways with the center. So we've already seen, for example, that Boric's approval is down about 30 percentage points. His very left of center interior minister, for example, Izquierda Siches, who came from a similar background. She thought that because she was a leftist, this also very youthful interior minister could go into the South and talk with the indigenous Mapuche. She arrived there and was actually met literally with shots. So I think what's happening right now with Boric is, although he sincerely means well, just like Che, the difference between revolutionary ideals and the reality of groups who want to do things with arms and some of the economic realities of how you take Chile forward. This is some of the conflict that Boric is already very early on running into in Chile.
We move to the other end of the demography, which is AMLO, López Obrador in Mexico, a man who is identified with left of center, is old enough to remember the death of Che Guevara. And of course, he leads a country where Guevara met the Castro brothers and started the revolution in Cuba. Is Che Guevara's legacy of merit in Mexico for AMLO? Does it serve as inspiration? Because we've seen recently he is concentrating power in the office of the executive. Most recently, we discussed how he's nationalized lithium as an impulse to concentrate again, not only political power, but economic power with the leader of the country. Is Che significant in Mexico?
The legacy of Che as a revolutionary fighter, and certainly Che, you know, in terms of the, you know, diplomacy of T-shirts in the street among the popular classes, is part of Mexico. Although probably Mexico, like Brazil, you know, doesn't embrace that legacy of Che within the left as much as the Andean Ridge countries and some of the Caribbean countries and certainly Cuba do. Having said that, though, it is clear that Mexico is moving probably in a far more troubling authoritarian direction than even the young Boric is taking Chile. We're already seeing that with decreased security collaboration. We're seeing that with decreased collaboration and statism in areas like the Pemex in the petroleum sector, the attempt to nationalize the lithium sector, et cetera. And in some of just the explosion of violence as AMLO tries to deal with cartels like Sinaloa and Jalisco Nueva Generacion without close security cooperation with the United States and without taking them on directly. And so we're seeing some very worrisome authoritarian policies. And we're seeing also in the form of his foreign minister, who hopes to be Mexico's next president, Marcelo Ebrard, we're seeing a new attempt by Mexico to resurrect the legacy of Luis Echeverria for Mexico as a representative leader of the Latin American and especially the Caribbean and Central American left. First with the idea to restore talks with North Korea, then the idea to put SALAC over the OAS. And so I think in terms of that kind of internationalist rejection of the imperialist ties and position of the U.S., even more worrisome than Chile, we're seeing that spirit of Che, if you will, being realized indirectly by AMLO and in the foreign policy of Marcelo Ebrard in Mexico.
And now to two men who've been identified with romantic revolution. That would be the deceased Chavez of Venezuela and Evo Morales of Bolivia. Do either of those, to your memory, Chavez is no longer with us, did he speak of Che Guevara? Did he speak of Castro and the revolution in that romantic, we'll transform, we'll start again, we'll be new men? The language that we have from the early 20th century in the Soviets. And does Morales still speak of that way? He's no longer attached to one particular governance. He's a pilgrim of revolution.
Both of those men, probably even more than AMLO or Boric per se, would have embraced or to some degree the thinking of people like Che. In the sense, each one was mixed with the idiosyncrasies of their own country. And so for Evo Morales, with the indigenous long excluded from Bolivian politics, of course, the legacy of Che there in conservative Bolivia, which ultimately caused his death, but the very failure of Che in Bolivia shows some of the profound nature, the conservative nature of Bolivian society that people like Morales are working against. But certainly for somebody like Morales, Che in Bolivia has an important role. If you look at some of the other legacies, however, such as Venezuela, because Simon Bolivar as the great unifier has gotten so much play, certainly Fidel Castro and Che is part of the revolutionary support of the Cubans, which through forums like the Sao Paulo Forum, that current has woven itself throughout the Latin American left. And so certainly it's there with the Bolivarians in Venezuela. Although in each context, the meaning of Che as it interfaces with the local national realities has been a little bit different. But the ghost of Che throughout the region certainly lives on.
The poison in Managua, the poison in Caracas, the poison in Havana, I don't associate that with the romance of the 1960s. I puzzle, though, what is the thinking in Latin America in general, political philosophy, those who debate these things? The revolutions of the 1960s, the Maoists certainly were in the lead. But then the Cuban Revolution was much in the news when Fidel Castro came to power and was at the United Nations and challenging and linking with Moscow. Is all that ancient history, Professor, or is that still current debate about which way are we going to go, right or left?
As Foucault would say, it has the character of current realities, past realities of mixing themselves and transforming themselves into something that is related, but fundamentally different. And so certainly in the 1960s and 1970s, there was a group within the Latin American left, especially with military governments, that felt that the principal choice or the only option was military struggle against what was seen as an undemocratic or unjust order, whether it was the economic order or the other order. And that, again, it found itself into things like the Cuban Revolution, as you alluded to, the Maoist version of that with Abel Guzman found its way into the Peruvian highlands with Sendero Luminoso, which was informed by kind of, you know, the peasant struggle of Mao, which was subtly different than Che, but related. You found it in urban guerrilla warfare movements, such as previous Brazilian President Dilma Rousseff participated in. And so today, that idea that armed struggle against the leadership isn't quite as appropriate as it once did. And so what you actually found is that the ideas of, you know, the unjustness of the liberal economic order or things like that were taken from those ways of thinking and used by, you know, both anti-democratic elements such as Hugo Chavez, for example, in Venezuela and in others to essentially come to power through elected means and hijack democracies to transform them into socialist dreams or nightmares that corresponded to what Fidel and Che and others had aspired to, but oftentimes for their own, you know, also kind of, you know, criminal and statist ends. But those same thoughts of Che have also found a way into democratic currents, whether it's the young Gabriel Boric in Chile or whether it was at least the, you know, some of the work of people like Lula da Silva and his Workers' Party in Chile. So it's found its way into a number of different currents, not all of which inherently are advocating for the military overthrow of the state, but some of which have clearly worked out better than others. And certainly the thinking of Che has been used to justify, you know, both violent revolution and other things throughout the region and continues to do so.
The U.S. was implicated in the death of Che Guevara, the CIA. I've talked to a couple of authors who wrote a book about this. Certainly, Che Guevara was seen as an enemy or an adversary of the United States at the time during the Cold War. Do you teach Che today at the Army War College, Professor? Are people curious about the legend?
In reality, unless it's a course on history, and at least what we teach at the Army War College, you know, has some basis, but is not fundamentally focused on the historical element of Latin America. But certainly understanding the movements and currents in which Che participated and, you know, revolution as a path is one of the paths that was taken, particularly during the 1960s period, and what the legacy of, you know, leftism and social injustice and revolutionary and how that plays out today. That part of Che's legacy is certainly taught, and certainly for those, I have colleagues who are passionate military historians, you know, who, you know the legacy of Che and the reasons for his failures in Bolivia and President Barrientos and other things intimately. So, you know, certainly within among military historians, especially Latin American focused ones, it's not forgotten. But in terms of the broader context of Latin America, it's, I would say it's a bit of salt and pepper among many things to understand what the region's all about and what its needs are.
Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College, Latin American Research Professor, Strategic Studies Institute. We're headed to Ecuador. There's trouble. This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.